This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Feminist Fridays on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Kam Agong died in 2002, shortly after she gave birth to her eighth child. Years later, her daughter, Agnes Padan, journeyed back to her village in the interior of Sarawak to piece together what happened to her mother and discovers a story of severe medical negligence that led to her mother's painful death. Filmmaker Lawrence Jayaraj chronicles his wife Agnes's journey and gives us a glimpse of the state of maternity healthcare available to villagers living in rural areas of Sarawak through his film, The Story of Kam Agong. So set to be screened at the opening night of this year's Freedom Film Festival, Lawrence joins me now to share that story. Welcome, Lawrence. How are you today?
Fine, thank you, Juliet.
Thank you so much for joining me. So, Lawrence, this is a very painful incident for, you know, your wife's family, your family as well. And it's something that you've been fighting for a long time now. But could you take me back to the start when your mother-in-law delivered her eighth child? You know, what was it that happened after that?
In 2002, Kam Agong, my mother-in-law, was admitted at the hospital February 19th, 2002. The hospital called Lawas District Hospital, and that hospital is not equipped with the necessary equipments to perform C-section or cesarean section, and there were no gynees. So because of some complications, the doctors decided to perform a cesarean section. So what happened during the surgery, there was some complications. She was bleeding, but she survived. And 28 days later, at the village, which is approximately 100 kilometers from the town, the district hospital, to her village, on the 19th March, she bled and died due to some complication.
So this was something that happened to her back home. She was essentially sent back home to sort of, I guess, sort it out herself.
Yeah, the details, if you look at some of the blogs that I have created, she was actually admitted on the 14th of March. She died on the 19th of March, 2002. 14th of March, she had secondary postpartum hemorrhage, which is severe bleeding. And she survived that in the village. She was taken to the hospital. She was admitted. There was no blood transfusion given. She was just, nothing was done. Within 48 hours, she was discharged on a Saturday evening. Mm-hmm. And she was told that you are all right, despite having severe infection on her abdomen, despite her, there was a bulky uterus. She was told to go back. She was discharged. And on the 18th, she went back to her village called Longs Madu. And during that time, it takes approximately 5 hours journey up into the village on a timber road. And she went back to her village, and the next morning, she had severe bleeding again, and she passed away.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
And this is a woman who had just given birth, so she's obviously, you know, in a lot of pain, and still they discharged her. You know, like you said, there was no specialist there, no one with any gynecological sort of...
Mm. So the question that I've been asking, why they did not bring a gynae to Lawas to check on her, because they know there was some complication. Mm-hmm. But even then, way before 14th of March, on the 8th of March, the doctor who did the C-section was in the village, surprisingly. Okay. And Kam Agong visited her at the clinic and told her, look, I'm having severe infection and I've not urinated for the last 12 hours. Okay. There's something wrong with me. And the doctor administered some medication and told her, look, ladies of your age, she was 44 during that time. Mm-hmm. She said, ladies of your age, it takes longer time to recover. And she sent her back. So she did not bring her down to the Lawas District Hospital, call the gynae in Miri. He could have flown down to Lawas and just have to take a look at her and administer whatever medication that's required. Mm-hmm. Or they could have called us, told us, hey, look, you got to take your mom or your mother-in-law to a private hospital. We can't handle it here.
Yeah.
If that was done, we could have saved her life. But nobody did anything. Nobody said anything.
So it was just disregarded. All her complaints and her ailments, you know, the pain that she was suffering was just disregarded and ignored in essence.
Yeah, she was ignored completely, not only by the doctors, by the state government, by the federal government, by the Ministry of Health, the whole works. They are all accomplice to this crime against Kamagung.
So take me through what happened after that. I mean, I understand that you and your wife both, you sued the hospital, the doctors, and also the government for negligence.
Yes, I did. In 2004, I filed a case mm-hmm. against the government and the hospital and the doctors and every single employees of the hospital. And it was a challenge in Sarawak to file a case, number one. We found a lawyer who filed the case. And immediately, a couple of months later, about a year later, they said, Lawrence, the DPP wants to settle the case out of court. So I said, no. Then they offered 10,000 ringgit out of court settlement. I said, no, I don't want the money. And they offered 30,000, 50,000, and up to 100,000 ringgit. I said, no, I don't want the money. I want to know what happened to Kamagung, and we want to take this court case to trial. And later what happened was the judge agreed to appear at the Lawas Magistrate Court, the Sessions Court judge, who was a very kind judge, because all of our witnesses were from Long Smadu. Mm-hmm. So, but when we wanted to go take this case for trial, what happened was the lawyer who represented the case initially didn't want to represent us because we didn't want to settle the case out of court.
I see.
So that was another challenge. So I appeared on behalf of Agnes and my family members and told the judge and told him that it's very difficult for us to get a lawyer to represent us in Sarawak. Mm-hmm. And every lawyer that we meet or seek help, they want to settle the case out of court rather than bring this case to court and find out what exactly happened to Kamagung. So I told him that I will represent the case, and he agreed, Lawrence, you go ahead. And during the case, when my father-in-law, Padan Labo, was at the witness stand, the DPP asked him, look, you have consented for the surgery, showing the consent form. And my father-in-law said, hey, look, that is not my signature. And it is written there, Kamagung. So the lawyer, DPP, said, look, that's your wife's name, Kamagung. It's there. Then my father-in-law said, look, that is not my wife's signature. Mm-hmm. So then we were asking what's going on. She did not consent for the surgery. The consent form is the signature on the consent form was falsified. I made a police report. And then the case went for trial. And during that time, the judge was trying to settle the case out of court. Because the reason is because he has to travel all the way from Miri. His team has to travel all the way from Miri to Lawas. During that time, it takes at least 6 to 7 hours. Because they have to take a ferry across and all that. And they have to go through Brunei 4 immigration checkpoints with 8 stops. So those are the journeys that they have to make early morning in order for them to reach Lawas. So they wanted me to settle the case out of court or settle the case with the DPP. And the DPP at that time offered me 300,000 ringgit. They said, no, I want this case to go for full trial. Let's have it and let's see what the judge wants to give. And I will take that. That was our decision, my decision, my family's decision at that time. And they were found, the doctors, the government, the hospital were found 100% medical negligence.
Okay. But if correct me if I'm wrong, the compensation wasn't as much as, you know, you would have hoped for.
Yeah. We were offered 50,000 ringgit. And then we appealed and we got a bit more.
Okay. I mean, this is a terrible thing to happen to anyone. And I suppose this is sort of a conclusion to it. But I know that you and your family, your wife and your family, wanted to keep this story, you know, to keep it as an example of, you know, how women, especially in rural areas, their concerns are not taken into consideration, or there's not even enough healthcare provided for them. How did you do that? How did you keep that story going?
In 2003, I created a blog, a website, and I started listing what are the things that happened to Kamagung. Then as we went on, I updated the blog and kept it going. And I was very active on social media.
Sure.
And in 2003, in fact, New Straits Times have actually published an article of Paddy Farmer wants to sue the government for her maternal death and all that. So, so this kept on going. And when I brought the case against the government, there was some media attention.
Okay.
But during the Sarawak state election, we printed a lot of this T-shirt called Build a Hospital, Not a Hotel. Because during that time, in 2008, when we went to Lawas for this case, they were constructing this hotel, Sri Malaysia, Hotel Sri Malaysia, in the heart of the town. And this is a government-funded hotel. Where are their priorities? Mm-hmm. So again, I came out with this tagline, build a hospital, not a hotel. And we printed a few hundred T-shirts and we sent it back to the village. And a lot of people were happy to get the T-shirt and they wore that T-shirt. And during that particular state election, there was a change in the political landscape in that area. Okay. Especially in the Bacalalan constituency, state constituency.
Because I'm sure that what happened to Kam was not an isolated incident. I'm sure that other women also face similar situations, maybe not resulting in death, but, you know, also not getting the access to maternal health care that is necessary.
There are other cases, uh-huh. not only in Long Smadu, Lin Lawas, but other parts of Sarawak. Uh-huh. And maternal mortality rate in Sarawak is pretty high. And the statistics are not exposed. They are very secretive about the statistics. And why, we don't know. We try to get the statistics. It's very difficult. It's not available.
Right.
So what happened to Kamagung, similar cases are there. But no one wants to voice out. No one wants to dare to bring this against a case against the government. Look, the obstacles that I went through, my wife went through, during the whole process of the trial, if anyone else would have given up, mm-hmm. it is financially, we are burdened. We have got children to take care, to educate. Kamagung's children, three of them, was going to school, which we educated them, and an infant with us. We adopted him as our son. Mm-hmm. So all this, with all these expenses, yet we fought the government. So that was how it was.
Okay, so now you've also made a film through the Freedom Film Festival.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that. You know, I mean, what was it like to film this, you know, revisiting these very painful memories?
It's very painful, Juliet, to recap and tell back the story, what has happened. It's the pain that she had endured. And certain things we did not know. And when her relatives, her best friends were narrating their stories, it's very painful. We found out new things like how much she bled. It's a whole one bucket of blood. And at the last moment, she was calling out her sons, the last child's name. His name is Jordan. And all that, it was very painful to hear. And especially if you know Kamagung, she's such a loving person. And she's a very intelligent lady, very hardworking, that sort of a person she is. And to lose a person like that in this sort of condition is horrible, yeah.
Something that could have been easily prevented.
Yeah, this could have been, I mean, if you had a gynae, that she would be alive today.
Yeah. Mm. So this particular film, it's through the eyes of your wife, Agnes. And I understand you spoke to Agnes's father and also to little Jordan, who's not, I suppose, not so little anymore. Yeah, so, I mean, was that a conscious decision to kind of have their voices, you know, kind of saying what... how it affected them, and I suppose how it affected the whole family as well?
I mean, Jordan did not say much. He was in the documentary. You get to see a little bit, a glimpse of him.
Okay.
But yeah, father has actually spoken about how he met his wife, Kamagung. And that's about, and a little bit about the case. But Agnes is the one who will be narrating the whole story during the documentary.
So you traveled back to Lawas, back to
yeah, we did the whole trip. We landed at myself, Agnes, my four sons, and the crew, Chin Ho and Hilmi, cameraman and the soundman. We traveled from Miri, and we did the journey all the way to Long Smadu, to Lawas and then to Long Smadu. So we know the pain, and we can't imagine how a mother going to travel... who goes to Lawas Hospital and with some complication, she's being sent to Miri, the kind of distance that she has to travel, not only the distance, the cost, you know, to go from Long Smadu to Lawas, it'll cost you a return up and down will be 90 ringgit, which is a lot. And from there, from Lawas to Miri, return will be 150 ringgit. So if a mother is traveling to Miri, she can't go alone. She has to bring a husband.
Yeah,
you know.
And if she has young children, you know, and she can't find.
And that is just the half of that. And the other thing is, once she reaches Miri, where is she going to stay? What about the food? And how long she's going to stay there? So all this involves, and I mean, who cares? I mean. Who have actually shouted for all these mothers? No one.
And what is it that you hope that people will take away from this film? I mean, this is a labor of love. I'm sure it is. And you know, what do you want people to take away from it?
I've always been advocating for a better maternal care or better maternity care at the hospital, not only at Lawas, it's for throughout Sarawak and also Sabah. This is what I've been advocating. But people who come and watch this documentary, I want them to cry, first. And number two, I want you to be my voice. I want you to be the voice for every mothers in Sarawak and Sabah. If you hear of someone struggling, a mother struggling with a deplorable standard of maternal care, highlight it, voice it. Don't keep quiet. Because if you keep quiet and if you don't voice out, this is going to continue. Politicians will come and go. They have robbed this country to glory. They have robbed Sarawak to glory. But these poor mothers are the one who's going to suffer. So we have to stop this. We have to stop this. And people who come for this documentary or watch this documentary, they must voice out.
So I guess you're hoping for more advocacy. I mean, number one, of course, to enlighten people. I think, you know, when we live in our little suburban kind of lives here in KL, we don't really, like you said, we don't really care about what's happening or we don't know what's happening in anywhere else, frankly, outside of our circle. So, you know, just to know that this sort of situation happens in Malaysia, not just, you know, somewhere in far-flung Africa, for example. This is happening right at our doorstep.
But if you know Sarawak, the Limbang division is as big as Selangor.
Yep.
And it has got two districts, which is Limbang district and Lawas district. Mm-hmm. And Limbang is separated by Brunei. So Lawas district hospital has got ill-equipped. They don't have specialists, no equipment. It's a small little, like, clinic ibu dan kanak-kanak, like in Semenanjung, you know. Whereas in Selangor, we have got 11 specialist hospitals everywhere. And we have got private hospitals and we have got clinic right in front of this building. I saw a clinic for maternity care. So it's easily accessible. Or else in Sarawak, in Long Smadu, in Lawas, for them to get a proper maternity care, it's very far. basically non-existent in the district of Lawas. Yeah. So if a mother willing to travel the distance of 100 kilometers, 5 hours journey, down to Lawas, she should get a proper maternity care, a proper maternal care. So if it is not there, then it is, I think the government has done something gravely wrong against all mothers in Sarawak.
I mean, I was reading that Barubian, our new works minister, he actually visited Lawas and, you know, he's looking into that proposed Lawas hospital project that has never come to fruition, even though it's very backdated, which I think cost 121 million. And he was very shocked and, you know, promises to take action. So hopefully there's some positivity in all of this. You look very doubtful.
Yeah, that's how a politician, the Barisan National politicians have been promising all this. Okay. And I don't see nothing happened. Every election, they made the promise. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So with Pakatan Harapan now, I think fourth month or the fifth month. So Barubian has visited that place. But then he's more interested in Pemborne Highway, which I think it's fair. I think we need the roads. But highways, roads can always be built. NCR land, you lose today, you can go to court tomorrow, you can win it back. But when you lose a mother's life, can you get that life back? You can't. So I think they have to get their priorities right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So so this film is going to be screened. That's happening on the 29th of September. But, you know, for those who can't make that, are there any plans for any future screenings? Or how are you planning to take this, you know, make it even bigger?
We will do a nationwide screening in Penang, in Sarawak, in Sabah, probably. And wherever people want us to screen, we will do it.
Okay.
We will do it. We will also try and viral it through other mediums.
And if anyone listening is interested to get in touch with you, you know, maybe to provide support of any kind, I mean, what sort of support do you need and how can people get in touch?
The screening will cost us some money. So if there's some financial assistance, it will be good. That they can actually channel it through Freedom Film Fest, Brenda and Anna. And as far as if they wish to keep in touch with me, they can do it via email. It's very easy to remember my email. It's Lawrence of Malaysia. Yes. It's like Lawrence of Arabia. It's like Lawrence of Malaysia at gmail.com. Yeah, that's my email.
Okay, all right. And just before we end, you know, any last message that you'd like to leave us with?
I really hope that Dr. Zulkifli, the current Minister of Health from the party called Amana, will pay attention to Lawas District Hospital. The most important thing right now, they need equipments, they need specialists. I spoke to a specialist. She said Lawas District Hospital has got no proper equipments. If I go there, I will be merely an MO, and I don't do that. Mm-hmm. Equip the hospital, and definitely specialists would want to go to Lawas to serve. So I hope he pays attention. And the next step is, I really hope, the next Minister of Health will be a lady, a mother, and not a man. For the last 61 years, for the last 61 years, there's always been a man. I don't know why. We never had a woman as a health minister. I think if we had a mother or a woman as a health minister, I think they would have looked into this matter instantly, as soon as they become a Minister of Health.
There's a whole different kind of worms there, you know, underrepresentation.
True, yeah,
of women.
Yeah.
But we'll have that conversation another day. So this screening is happening at PJ Live Arts in the school at Jaya 1 in Petaling Jaya at this year's week-long Freedom Film Festival, which is running from the 29th of September until the 6th of October. But the story of Kam Agong will be screened on opening night, the 29th of September at PJ Live Arts, and that starts off at 8 p.m. Are there going to be any, like a question and answer session, you know, those sorts of things?
Yes, there will be a question and answer session.
Okay. Okay, all right. So for more information on ticketing and such, you can head to freedomfilm.my or you can head to their Facebook page at facebook.com/freedomfilmfestival. And if you want to get in touch with Lawrence, that email again is lawrenceofmalaysia@gmail.com. And is your blog still functioning?
The one there's one blog. You can Google it, maternal mortality in Sarawak, or you just Google Kam Agung Lawrence, so you will be able to see some of the blogs.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for joining me today, Lawrence.
Thank you, Juliet.
I've been speaking to Lawrence Jayaraj. He's a filmmaker, and his film is called The Story of Kam Agung, which will be screened at this year's Freedom Film Festival. For more information, again, you can head to freedomfilm.my or their Facebook page at facebook.com/freedomfilmfest. This has been Feminist Fridays on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.